turn.
Okay, oh, there it is. Now I can hear it. Well, I welcome everybody here this morning and an awesome Palm Sunday, right? This is a very awesome time when Jesus was coming, you know, and he was going through that big day. He was going heading towards the cross, right? Yeah. All for us. You did it all for us. So, Father, we thank you this morning for your people here this morning. Lord, just minister to each one here, Lord. Lord, even as we take the time, Lord God, and we worship you and we praise you this morning. Lord, may you be glorified. Lord, because you're such an awesome God, and we just give you all the praise and the glory. And we'll say that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Raise a hallelujah. Fear, you've lost your hold on.
weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder. You're gonna hear my prayer this roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. Raise a hallelujah. With everything inside of me, I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Fear, you've lost your hold on me. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so
been to Israel, but when I go, I want to go to the garden and sit a while with him. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on roses and a voice. Yeah.
Beautiful as you, no one else
Let's sing it again. I cast my mind to
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Ain't no stinking cough going to hold me down from praising the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Well, welcome, everybody. Everyone here, everybody online. And just trust that you're having a blessed day today. See lots of empty seats. Be praying. We've got different ones that are struggling. I saw Darlene Dale yesterday. She's the one that usually sits in the back corner there, and she's been in the hospital for a few days now. But she asked me if I would please tell everybody how much she misses you. And she said, I just can't wait to get back to church. She said, it's going to be so good to see everybody. And so just be praying for Darlene that she'll be able to get back on her feet quickly. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Good Friday's coming up, and as a church, we've been invited to join Living Waters Church on Friday the 29th at 10 a.m. for a Good Friday church service. And they are in the building, they're in the basement of the building right behind the Saskew building downtown. So you go in the back of Saskew, there's a parking lot, and that's where the entrance to the church is. Parking is available in the Ross Street parking lot, and also in front of Saskew on Lakeshore Drive, or in the Saskew parking lot. But please park on the left side only. Do not park in the stalls immediately behind the building, as the three stalls by the bank machine. They're reserved 24/7. There are also 6 parking spaces available in the underground parking lot just past the church entrance. So they hope to see us there. So that's Good Friday, 10 o'clock, at the Living Waters Church in Salmon Arm. Today's a special day for Brother Len's son, Mike. And Mike might be watching us online. It's Mike's birthday today. And so just in case Mike is watching, he's down in Mexico, and his brother Dave says that he likely has access to the internet. So just in case Mike is watching, let's sing happy birthday to Mike, okay? A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. Look at the camera, feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and the best year you've ever had. Praise the Lord. Well, happy birthday, Mike. And if you're watching, we just bless you and pray that the Lord is using you in that place. Amen. We're going to have lunch after church today. Teresa absolutely guarantees there's enough food for everybody. So even if you don't want to stay after lunch for the AGM, some people have things they have to go and do. You're welcome to still stay and have lunch. And then right after that, we're going to have our annual general meeting, which is required by the law. So, and we're not too long-winded in that. We just go through the reports and let you know what we've been doing here for the last year. Has anybody got a testimony they'd like to share? Jan's going to share something.
Well, as you can see, probably as you're driving garage sales out, so the Lord put it on my heart to have a garage sale for somebody who's gone through a pretty tough time. And I was getting a few items, well, lots of items, and so I thought, oh, I'll put it in the marketplace, and I've already made $45 for it. So and this is a God project. It has nothing to do with me, but as you're spring cleaning and you have things, not clothes, that would be too much, but, things that you kind of want to, because we're going to probably within the month or so have a garage sale at Mary's place. After April because of the celebration here on the 30th. Just bring me stuff, okay? Because I will start putting prices on it, and it's for a really good cause. It's a God cause.
Because I put the announcement out on email and did it last Sunday, I neglect to mention. On the 20th and 21st, we're having our 30th anniversary celebration here. We're going to have special guest speakers coming. We're going to have a meal on Saturday at noon, but on Sunday it'll just be a morning service with anniversary cake afterwards. So just maybe, save the date. We're doing that. And on the 10th, we've got Anita Pierce coming on Wednesday night. And she's from Saskatchewan, a little evangelist. If you've got anybody that likes country music and doesn't know Jesus, invite them to come because they'll be blessed. She gives a good gospel message, and she sings, and she's fun. So that's a Wednesday night, the 10th of April. And hopefully we're praying that she'll be able to go to Chase and have a service on the 11th. So that'll be awesome too. Okay, you've got a testimony? Okay, you're going to bring the children up to go to Sunday school, or you want them to meet you right there? Okay. Well, let's pray about that. Who's doing the offering? That's their job. Okay, you're going to pray for the children, Pastor Mel.
Well, we're just going to pray for you, pray for Kimberly there as she, she's got quite a few there this morning. We pray for them this morning, oh God, that you will minister to the children and minister to Kimberly as she ministers to the children, Father. We thank you for her. And while we're thinking about it, we just keep Darren in mind because he's, he's got problems. Well, we're not going to talk about that, but he's got a few problems with walking and stuff like that. Anyway, I better leave it there. Anyway, bless you, Kimberly, as you teach. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I get to take up the offering. You guys all ready? Okay, let's see what we got here. I think it is Palm Sunday, right? Palm Sunday. I don't know if anybody's familiar with that, but anyway, this is the time when Jesus was on his way to the cross, right? And they were anointing him, and they were worshiping and they were praising him, right? And it was a time of celebration. We'll take it up in John 12, 12:12. John 12:12. It says, the next day a great multitude that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. It says, and then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it as it was written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Of course, his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him, that he had done these marvelous things. Anyway, as I was thinking about that, refer that back to offering. How do you get the offering out of this, Pastor? Well, I don't know, but it was like Jesus was he's sowing a seed, wasn't he? And the seed was him, right? He was actually sowing himself. That's what he was doing. Yeah. And you know, that's what offering is about, sowing too, right? We sow into the kingdom of God. Yeah. So, Father, I thank you for those that sow this morning. And you know, when you put a seed in the ground, if you have a seed, by itself it's not much, right? It is so little. But when you sow it into the ground and you wait for a while, then it springs up at a whole, and it's a different story, isn't it, then? Because it starts to blossom and bloom, and out of that comes many more seeds, you know. So even as we sow this morning here, you know, even though we might not look like much, but, you know, God can really do lots with that, right? He can expound it, expand it, where it turns out to be so much more. So, Father, this morning, even as the people come to sow, Lord, the seed, Lord God, Lord, may their sowing turn out to be a big crop. Yeah. So bless everyone here that gives in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. And Mary's going to come and preach the word after.
I'm so sorry. Thank you so much, Mary and Carla, for all the work you did to make this place looks so beautiful for Easter. You know, they've got a big we've got our celebration coming up that they're going to decorate for. But they said, no, we still have to decorate for Easter. And I just appreciate all the work you put into it. I know it's a lot. Bless you.
Amen. Amen. So bless you as you come and give.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome anybody that's listening online. I pray that this message will touch your heart in some point or another. I just want to pray, Father, I thank you, God, for this day. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you will just, it's your anointing that breaks every yoke. I thank you, Lord, that you're just going to loose my tongue, God, that I'm going to be free in the spirit to speak, Father, what you put in my heart, God, what you put in my mind, Lord, that I can see as you see and hear as you hear. And I thank you. I thank you for your word that transforms us, Lord, into your image. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. So I just want to say, you know, I know that this body, you know, has been under an attack physically. And I just want to encourage everybody that we are in warfare. And so, you know, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of the air. And also that God has given us the authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy. And so just know your stand, know your word. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Encourage and pray for each other, especially when you see something like this come against a body, because it's hit so many of us. Okay, so just, you know, the blood of Jesus that covers, and if anyone is even under the sound of my voice, Lord, anyone, Father, I just thank you for the blood that covers them, and absolutely no weapon formed against them to prosper physically, in Jesus' name, amen. So, because of the attack that has been on the body, I wanted to speak on spirits. Yesterday, I got a text, and I got angry, and I thought, that's it. I got to speak on spiritual warfare. I was so upset. Although God told me not to speak on spiritual warfare, last Wednesday he actually woke me up and he said, I want you to speak on transition. But yesterday I was so mad at the enemy that I thought, no, I think it can't be transition right now. It's got to be warfare. But as, you know, my heart, of course, I want to be obedient to the Lord. But he asked me to speak on transition. And now, this isn't a message about Palm Sunday, but as I was standing there, I thought, my God, that was such a picture. Because you see, when Jesus came to this earth, he came to bring transition. That he wanted to just tear down the religious system of the day. He wanted to tear down the traditions of men, and that's what he constantly came against. And so he had something to accomplish when he was on this earth, not just to go to the cross, but to tear down every mindset that was not of God. Because you see, there's Jesus, and we have added so much to Jesus that we can't see Jesus anymore. And God, I believe, is really transitioning his church from one place to another so that we really do know the mindset of Christ. That we know his mind, we know his will, we stand on his word. And, you know, when I think about religion, you know, I think, God, you have had to tear religion out of me because I was raised up in religion. And if I can say, and all of us have had religion on the inside of us, and God has had to tear this religion out of us. And so I thought, if anybody, you know, put up your hands, well, I could put up two hands. I could put up all four. Because of the religion that God has to tear out of me. Because he doesn't want religion on the inside. So this takes transformation on the inside of us. Okay, this is transition. And that's what God's doing, I believe, in the church today. So I'm just going to define transition. It means a process or period of changing from one state or condition to another. It can also be defined as passage or crossing or transfer. Transition comes in various ways. It can come with great joy. When you think about somebody that's about to get married, they transition from being single into all of a sudden being married. Having a new baby, you go from having no children into having children. That's a transition in somebody's life. A new job that you really wanted, that's transitioning from an old job into a new job. And so there's transitions that have great joy. But there's also transitions that can be a real time of loss. Okay, I can be married one day and divorced the next day. I can be married one day and, you know, whether the husband or the wife pass away, that's a major transition that somebody goes from being married into being single again, you know. major transition. So a loss of relationship, a home, to lose a home. Somebody could maybe, like they'd lost their home. And so that's a major transition going from wealth into poverty, because of some of the stuff that maybe they didn't have wisdom or however the enemy stole, but major transition. Maybe losing a job. Somebody could be working at a job and the next thing you know, they've lost their job. And all of a sudden it's like, how am I going to pay my bills? So all of a sudden you're catapulted into transition, whether you like it or not. And we have all experienced that in different ways in this house. I know we have. Now, the difference between transition and change is the shift in external situations. So change is me going from married to divorce. That's a change in my life, okay? Change is the shift in external situations, the thing that has changed, your home, your relationships, your job. And it can happen like that. One day you're one way and the next day you're a different. Okay? It can happen in an instant, happen very fast. Many have had this experience. And you can fill in the blanks. One day I was this, and the next day I was like that. Okay, you fill in the blanks, because we've all got a story. Transition is the reorientation people need to make in response to that change. That's what transition is. So it's not about the change, it's about the response of all of a sudden you're moving into a transition, okay? So you can say this, that change is external and transition is internal. Simple as that. Change is external, transition is internal. Transition occurs more slowly. And God does a real work in us if we allow Him to. Okay? So, I just want to bring out some of the things that we have to be careful of in transition, when we're going through transition. Genesis 8:22. It's an easy book to find. It's the first one, so... It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. So when I look at the seasons, we need to adjust to each season. Like I was thinking that you cannot wear flip-flops in the wintertime. Now, if you tried to wear flip-flops in the snow, your feet would freeze. So you would look stupid. There's no, we cannot, I'm not saying inside the house, you can wear flip-flops all you want in the winter inside the house. I'm talking about winter time outside. You can't do it because your feet would freeze and you get frostbite and you could lose your limbs. and you would look stupid, really. But anyways, or you can't wear a heavy parka in the middle of summer. You just can't do it. You would overheat, and so you have to, whether you like it or not, adjust to different seasons. Whether we like it or whether we don't like it, it doesn't, that we see it in the natural even, how we need to adjust. I was thinking of the pandemic, COVID. We saw many negative things when it hit, and very positive changes. To me, one of the positive changes is that God thrust the church out of these four walls. And I'm telling you, to me, that was a positive change. Another positive change is the church had to realize that it's not about church. We are the church. It's about the Spirit of God living on the inside of us and to draw close to Him in our homes. Draw close to, it's about that intimate relationship. Yes, it is good about coming together and fellowshipping and doing what God wants to do when we come together. But if we cannot sit in our own homes and worship the Lord, then something is wrong. And I believe that COVID really showed us as the people of God that it's not about these four walls. We are the church. We are the church. So, I was glad to see, and I'm telling you, some of the people that I know, and I know not everybody's going to agree with me on this, but I just know that some of the people that did close their churches, and now they're back. Some of them I know are strong in the Lord, because they were not going to quit or give up what God put on the inside of them. And they're very strong in the Lord. They came out in power. Okay, so it's being alone. It'll show you what's on the inside of us. That's what happens. Being alone. We gotta know that, because even the disciples were persecuted and they were scattered. And all of a sudden, you didn't have this cozy little, let's go to church and sing our four songs. They were undergoing persecution, you know. So it's about what's on the inside of us. And another thing that I found is not only did it thrust the church out, but when the church did come together and, you know, start worshiping the Lord again, the internet was still operating. So not only am I reaching 50 or whatever, now I could be reaching 350, or some churches are reaching 2,000 more besides what is going on in their congregation. Like, it's exploded. It is exploded. And some people may never come into a church. But I tell you, what that whole thing did, COVID, it exploded the gospel. And God says that my gospel is going to go out throughout the ends of the earth before I return. And that's what we're seeing today. It's going out throughout the ends of the earth. So turn to Mark 2:22. Now, I have been seeing the number 222 everywhere. And just last week or 2 weeks ago, I said, Lord, is there a scripture you really want to speak to my heart about? And anyways, he answered that yesterday. Mark 2:22, it says, actually, I'm going to start with 21. No one sews a patch of unshrunk new clothes. No one sews a patch of unshrunk new clothes on an old garment. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from it, and the new from the old, and the tear will become worse. And then no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the fermenting wine will expand and burst the skins, and the wine is lost as well as the wineskins. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. Hallelujah. Pour me out. That's all I can say of any old that's on the inside of me. Because God cannot put a new message in an old wineskin. He can't do it. Because if I'm an old, like those wineskins, they were made of goat skin most of the time. And the neck of the goat was used for the spout. These wineskins hold the wine. And when the skins were first put together, the wineskin had a lot of elasticity in it. Okay? But over time, the skin became old and brittle. So the new wine in the old brittle wineskin, when the wine started to ferment, and being Italian, I've seen that many times, when the wine starts to ferment, and Dad would put it in a glass bottle. But that's not what this is. But this was an expandable. So what happens when you do that is it starts, the fermenting process, it starts releasing the gas, and the pressure of it will actually spill and crack that wineskin. And so you lose the wine. You lose the wine and you lose the wineskin. Both of them are useless. All of, you know, they're both useless. So, and it's a mess. It's a mess. So Jesus did not come to put an old patch on a new dress, and he didn't come to put new stuff in old wineskins. So, like our old traditions, our mindsets, our religious ways had to go, because Jesus was not going to be an add-on. He was the new. That's why the enemy attacked like he did when Jesus came on the scene. That's why a while ago, I know I gave a prophetic word saying that it was messy. And it was messy. All the whole time Jesus was on the earth, because he wanted to bring something fresh and something new. And it was very messy. It was messy for with the religious people and even his own disciples. And I'll bring out a story how he had to take their mind and literally transform it. So it wasn't easy. And so for me, I'm thinking, well, Lord, you had grace for Peter. You can have grace for Mary. Okay, because it wasn't easy on the disciples either, because their mindsets had to change. You know, and so, and I'm thinking about Palm Sunday. Well, they still didn't get it, because they were wanting this king to deal with the government that was at that time. And they're saying, yay, our king is here. But they still didn't get it. They didn't realize this king is going to die, and it's not going to be done the way you thought it was going to be done. So the whole Palm Sunday was that, because they had to still change their mind. It was only after the resurrection, I believe, that... oh, God, this is what you meant. Only when they started to put two and two together. And then the fire hit their soul and they laid down their lives. So, in transition, yeah, that's why he dealt with the Pharisees the way he did. So, in transition, this is some of the things that we go through to get the old out. We need to be pliable and yieldable wineskins. And turn to Philippians 3, 12 to 14. Oh, I've got lots of time yet. I think. Is that clock right? It's Philippians 3, 12 to 14. Not that I have already obtained this goal of being Christ-like or have already been made perfect, but I actively press on so that I may take a hold of that perfection for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me and made me his own. Brother and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature, pursuing spiritual perfection, should have this attitude. If in any respect you have a different attitude, that too God will make clear to you. So we need to press on to what God has in transition. And sometimes that's a place where we can get stuck. We can get stuck because of our own stubbornnesses or our own. And I think it's sometimes strongholds in our minds that have to be broken. And that's about anything, whether it's the things of God or the things about us. There's some things that we are not receiving what God wants us to receive. And I think God, I was thinking about, the function. I was thinking about function, the word function. I believe that there's no greater joy for the Lord to see you functioning as God has created you to function. Then that's for each one of us. Because You know, I'm thinking of an egg beater. You know, if I use an egg beater to try to wipe out the bowl, it doesn't work. You need a spatula to do that. Not an egg beater to wipe out the bowl, to clean out the bowl. The egg beater is for beating eggs or beating butter or whipping cream or whatever it is. But it's not. So it's like, Mary, I delight to see you functioning according to how I created you to function. Because there are seeds of destiny on the inside of each of us that is different. My destiny and my seed is different from Jan's seed, is different from Jody's seed. And that seed of destiny, like I think, you know, it doesn't all have to be here. I mean, to function in business, like Jody to function in business, like God's created her to function in business, no greater joy for God to see that fulfilled on the inside of her. No greater joy. Whether you're a school teacher, whether you are a preacher, whether you are a social worker, whatever you are, there is no greater joy that reaches, I believe, the heart of the Father than to say, that girl's functioning exactly how I created her to function. So don't give up on that dream that God has put on the inside of you. Don't give up on it. Because your dreams, and the Lord will show you what that is. You know, and I thank God for the confirmation that has been around my life to encourage me, keep moving, Mary, keep going forward. Was it easy? Absolutely not. Is it still easy? Absolutely not. But you got to press, like that scripture says, I press towards the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus on the inside of me. Okay, and that's the same for you, no matter what it is. Deuteronomy 31:8. Says, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. Do not fear or be dismayed. The complete Jewish Bible, I like how it said it. It says, but Adonai, it is he who will go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you or abandon you. So don't be afraid or downhearted. Don't be afraid. We have to keep pressing forward. So some of the fears, like some of the things that we have to be careful in transition is that we don't have fear of the future or of the unknown. Okay, this is not known. I've never been here before. And because if we do, what happens, like it happened with the Israelites, is they continually looked backwards. They continually complained and continually looked backwards. And we can't be that kind of people. I was thinking of a new job. You know, say a new job, a new boss comes on a job. And so we're working away, and all of a sudden the boss says, well, I don't want that to be done like that anymore. I want it to be done like this. So the first thing somebody says is, well, that's not how so-and-so used to do it. Like, who does he think he is? So that's what I mean. That's how our nature is, right? To start complaining, because all of a sudden transition is taking place in that workplace, and you've got to. It's like, suck it up, buddy. You're going to have to you're going to have to transition into the new boss and do it the way he's doing it. Okay, so. And I know that, I mean, I've been at work where I know that if a new boss is trying to come in, and I knew that it didn't suit, it was trying to come in, and I knew it would not suit the whole atmosphere, because we have authority wherever God puts our feet. And I remember having to pray, thinking, oh God, there's no way that she can come in. And so I had to take authority my authority that God has given me in that place, because I knew it would do more damage, that person would do more damage, and sure enough, she never did go in there. You know, so God has given us authority. We're not at our workplaces just for the sake of being there, and not just for making the money, but also for the authority that God has given you in that workplace. But so the Israelites in Exodus complained constantly, always looking back to what was, especially when difficulties came. And in transition, difficulties come. Because all of a sudden, you're not used to doing things the way the new requires. Okay? So we have to be careful. I was mindful of the waters of Meribah. They were bitter. And Moses threw a stick in, and it became drinkable again. And when I read that, I thought, Lord, you're so faithful. Like, even in transition, you know, here God is trying to get Egypt out of them, you know, and all the things that happened, you know, in the wilderness, God constantly showed up for them, constantly had grace for them, you know, like, man, and they were heading to a promised land. They were heading to something that God had promised them. And there was always this complaining. So, what happens if we continually look back? What happens is it prevents us from looking ahead. So another thing in transition is we cannot lose our focus. We got to keep focused on Jesus at that time. Got to keep our focus. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin that so easily and cleverly entangles us, let us run with endurance and active persistence in the race that is set before us. Looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, the first incentive for our belief and the one who brings our faith to maturity. Hallelujah. Who, for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him, endured the cross, discarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand. What a day. Sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, revealing his deity, his authority, and the completion of his work. What a day of rest. Can you imagine? Resurrected, put the blood over the mercy seat, going up there. And sitting down. Which we will all see. We'll all see that victory. What a day. Anyways. Okay, so I remember the first time I had to speak at a conference. It was Apostles' conference, you know, and she puts her, which you all meet Apostle when she comes up here, but she put her two hands on my shoulders and she goes, and she's tall, right? And I'm looking up, yes, and she goes, Mary, she says, don't cry. I will do my best. She goes, Mary, don't cry. So I had to stop a few times. Anyways, Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, in every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to God, and the peace of God, that peace that reassures the heart, that peace that transcends all understanding, that peace that which stands guard over your hearts and over your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. So that's focusing on Him and really allowing His peace in our transition to rest on us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it's trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all of your ways, and He will direct your path. So what are we magnifying as we go through transition? I've heard this before. But in my mind, I'm thinking it doesn't have to be like that if we have the right attitude in transition. But I heard when God shuts the door, before He opens the other door, you're in the hallway, and it's hell in the hallway. But I'm thinking, I've heard that. But my attitude in that saying is that, well, Lord, you know, it doesn't have to be hell in the hallway, because I can continue to worship when I don't understand. I continue to read the Word. I continue to sit with the Lord when I can't see. You know, sometimes we cannot see where we're going. Absolutely, it's clouded. It's hidden. You know, so sometimes we don't always see, oh, this is exactly where I'm going. And the thing is about that, too, the reason I really believe, too, is that sometimes the Lord will say, okay, this is what I'm going to promise you. But all of a sudden, He takes a turn and He goes in another direction, because He needs to see whether our hearts are for Him and whether or not we're going to follow Him, or are we going to follow the promise without Him and start building our own Ishmael. Like he was something that, you know, Abraham had to conceive on his own, because the promise wasn't coming to pass. So sometimes the Lord says, I'm going to go in this direction. Are you going to follow me? You know, so we have to be careful that we don't create our own thing when God makes a promise to us. We still have to follow Him. So when He shuts a door and we don't always understand what the stink is going on here, that's when we have to keep focused, you know. And there are keys that God, I believe that everyone in this house are mature enough believers to know the keys that God has given us in order for us to stay stable in times of transition. Okay? So turn on that worship music. I mean, yeah, turn it on. Turn it up. I know Dave led worship on Wednesday night, and I, you know, such a heaviness came on me Wednesday night. And by the time I got here, I thought, thank God that we weren't really prepared to have a study. So we worshiped for an hour, and He just led worship beautifully. And the Bible says, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I thank God, because I don't know what's going on out there, but there's a spiritual realm that we're dealing with. And sometimes we get heavy and we don't know why we're heavy. And so put on our worship music and just worship the Lord. Magnify the Lord, magnify His word, the promises He has made you. We can't go by our feelings, and the flesh gets in the way so many times, and we have to be careful of that. And for me, what God spoke to me on Wednesday night, He said, Mary, there's got to be extravagant praise. And I'm thinking, that is so true. God, that is so good. Remind me of that. So it's not just I need music, turn it up, turn it loud. You know, I don't have neighbors here, so I can go as loud as I want, and I could turn it up as much as I want, and I could just worship the Lord. You know, and sometimes you need those warfare worship songs. Simple as that. That's praise, and praise does the warfare that needed to be done. I came home changed after we moved, after you, Dave, you moved in that worship. Just that weight had just lifted right off. And that's what God says, be extravagant in your praise in this hour. Watch out for fear. Because fear will paralyze you. And sometimes I think fear, because we're fear of the unknown, it can paralyze us. So we have to be careful of not to allow fear. I know when I went in my major transition in my life, man, I was hit with fear constantly about everything. It wasn't just one thing. It was, what about this, and what about that, and what about this? And it was just, so I had to battle fear constantly until I got the victory, and God was transitioning me into the new, but I had to battle that stinking spirit of fear constantly. It was just, and it was fear of the unknown mostly. And so that's such a lie. It's fear of the unknown, but God got ya. He has you. He says he'll never let you go. The thing is, before I moved into that type of warfare, I knew in my head, he will never leave me. He will never forsake me. That's what God says. After I came through that transition, my heart knew, he will never leave you. I could say to anybody, he will not leave you. He will not forsake you. Why? Because I allowed God to bring me through the transition, the process into the new. And I know this without a shadow of a doubt. He will never leave you when you are going through a hard time. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Literally. Never. And even if you lose everything, the promise is he will never, ever leave you or forsake you. And I'm telling you, we have seen that. Fires hit a home, they've lost everything. You know, but all I can say to them is, I don't know, I just have a testimony. He never left me, not once. Not once. So we have that. So sometimes, because we fear the future, it actually makes us stuck. It causes us to be stuck, causes us to be paralyzed, you know, and we need to keep going. Like I'm just thinking, like, anything God asked me to do, I never had done before. You know, like when he asked me to play the drums, you know, for a season, I never played the drums before, you know. So everything he asked me to do, it takes faith to step. Because we need to be people that progress, you know. Because if we're stuck and not progressing and not growing, something isn't right. Something isn't right. Isn't my voice loud enough? Yeah, okay. Anyway, something isn't right. So we need to be people that progress. I mean, you know, there was a season to dance. Like, I never danced before. What do you mean you want me to dance, you know? So it was whatever, you know, whatever God, I want you to preach. Well, Lord, all I do is cry. How can you ask me to do that, you know? So it takes a step of faith. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay, so just keep progressing in your walk with the Lord. Don't let fear paralyze you of the thing that he's asking you to do. Whatever thing he's asking you to do, step out in faith. And you know what? So maybe I wasn't the best drummer. You know, maybe I wasn't the best dancer, but it wasn't about me being the best drummer, and it wasn't about me being the best dancer. You know what it really was about? It was about the anointing of God that's on my life. That's what it was about, because it's the anointing that does what needs to be done in the house. So I either going to have his dignity or his deity or my dignity, and I had to lay down my dignity in order to receive his dignity in it. So it's a real humbling to step out and do what God's called you to do. Anyways, perfect love casts out fear. And a scripture that God's given me for this year, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And I've changed that to, I am seeing the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Okay, I want to go back here. I just want to take you through this story to show you how God had to transform Peter's mind. It's in Acts 10, 9 to 17. This is when Peter got a vision. So this was a major transition in the disciples' thinking, way of thinking. Okay, Acts 10, it says here, now at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. Oh, sorry, I'm going to start at verse 9. Okay, so anyways, an angel appears before Cornelius, says, Cornelius, I want you to go to Simon the Tanner's house by the sea. And I want you to invite him back to your house. So Cornelius sends his men, his whatever they were called. Okay, verse 9. The next day, as they were on their way, they were approaching the city. Peter went up on the roof at the house top about the sixth hour noon to pray. But he became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. And he saw the sky open up, and an object like a great sheet descending, lowered by its four corners to the earth. And it contained all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and birds of the air. A voice came to him and said, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, now, this is where our stubbornness comes in. Peter said, "No, not at all, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that was common, unholy, and ceremonially unclean." And the voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleansed and pronounced clean, no longer consider common or unholy." This happened three times, and then immediately the object was taken up into heaven. Now Peter still was perplexed and completely at a loss as what his vision could mean. And when the men who had been sent by Cornelius, having asked direction to Simon's house, arrived at the gate, they called out to ask whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was thoughtfully considering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Now listen, three men are looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitating or doubting, because I have sent them myself." So anyways, go down to, I believe, verse 44. So anyways, Peter ended up going to Cornelius' house. And it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who were listening to the message confirming God's acceptance of the Gentiles. So that was major transition in this disciple's mind, because God couldn't come to Gentiles. Absolutely not. And not just that, just the eating, because I'm not going to go into it, but Peter had been faithful to the law and the dietary restrictions and whatnot. He had been faithful under the old covenant, and God was bringing something completely new. He said, "No, don't do that. There's no more unclean. There's no more clean, unclean, or whatever, however you think in your mind. There's no more of that." You know, so sometimes God has to take some of the old stuff like he did with Peter and has to make it new to us. And you know what? Nobody can make it new to me. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't say that, because I know that as I listen to different messages, you know, all of a sudden I'll hear it. I'll hear something. And it's the Holy Spirit on the inside going, "They're right. They're right. They're right." So even though I'm thinking, "I don't know about that," just like Peter said, "Lord, I don't know about this," the Holy Spirit on the inside of me going, "They're right. They're right." So that's how we need to be, remember, pliable, like a new, fresh wineskin to receive the new. So, um, Okay, I think that's probably about it. Praise the Lord, it's only 5 after 12. Anyways, but what I want to do is just to encourage you guys to just rest in the promises of God. Know that transition comes to all of us, and God will bring us out onto the other side, because he's got a plan and a purpose for the transitions. I think that I want to see victory for the new thing that God has, not for us only corporately, but individually, and for us to operate in all that God has for us. So I just want to say that the greatest transition that we can make is going from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Okay? So I just want to encourage, if there's anyone here that needs to, or online, that needs to renew their heart to the Lord, saying, you know, I've walked away, I need to be closer to the Lord, I want to renew my relationship with him, you know, and you want prayer, then you come forward. Or if there's anyone that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today you can know him as Lord and Savior. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So it's just believing that Jesus Christ says, who is who he says he is, that he went to the cross, and we're coming into Resurrection Sunday. He went to the cross. He died for us. It's not about you belonging to a church. It's not about you being baptized. It's not about how much money you give. Not about any of those things. It's only about Jesus Christ and your faith in the finished work of Calvary and what he did. He took your sin and he made you free. And whatever was accomplished on the cross can be yours today. All you have to do is open up your heart and say, Jesus, come into my heart, live in me, change me, transform me, make me the new creature that you've created me to be. Amen. So that's it. I'm just going to pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, for your word that you said will not return unto us void. Lord, you know each one here, each one online, where we are in our walk with you, God. And I thank you, God, truly, you never leave us and you never forsake us. Lord, I thank you for the new wine that you're putting on the inside of your church. And I thank you, God, that she's a victorious bride. That, Father God, that you're doing a work, oh God, that only you can do. And I thank you, God, that each one here, Father, that, God, they just desire, Father, to both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Father, committing, Father, every fiber of their being unto what you want to do on the inside of them. And I thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, put joy. God, religion is not joyful, but a relationship with Jesus is joyful. And I thank you, God, that, Lord, we are a people of joy. And, Lord, you are a fullness of joy. I thank you for your presence in this house this morning. And I pray, wrap your loving arms and your presence over each one. And bless, Father God, them as they go their way. Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And the altars are always open if anybody needs prayer. If anybody isn't saved in here, wants to get saved, come on up. Amen.